It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Yeah, excited. Matt's got a long way to go. You know, coming back from that was a significant injury. Nobody works harder than Matt Milano, and he spent really the entire offseason in Buffalo, including the break over the summer, and he's committed. I mean, his mindset is elite, and that's part of the challenge, right, coming off an injury like that.
There's Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott on earlier today with Jeremy and Joe. We're going to hear that back in about a half hour as he said some pretty cool stuff, especially about Allen's kind of changing his mindset going into 2024, and also just, you know, what's different about this year. A lot of change on this Bills roster. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm loving seeing all these videos from Bills camp and all these reports. I mean, just as the offense was exploding and it seemed like they were just untouchable today, the defense, namely Ed Oliver, is just wreaking havoc. And even there, Matt Milano, Bobby Babich kind of also was sort of like not tempering expectations, but sort of just, it's going to take some time for Matt to be Matt, but he's going to be Matt again. He's making plays as well. The vibes do seem really, really good at Bills camp early. Again, pads aren't even on. This is day three. I'm more saying this to myself, to calm down, relax, don't feed into the camp propaganda. But the early signs are really good. This team's vibes just feel a lot different from last year. It did feel like last year it was this sort of uncomfortable cloud over the team. And I'm not blaming Stephon Diggs, but there was sort of that feeling of, man, like, ugh, what happened at mandatory minicamp? You know, why did that happen? You know, does this kind of feel like a last run with this team? It might be. It's just, it never really felt great. And then the season started, and yeah, I mean, their first game against New York is a disaster. They, you know, do well then at the beginning of the year, but then towards the middle, it's just as bad. And it never, ever felt right with the Bills roster or the Bills team last year. With this year, it's just been, it's smooth as you go, and a lot of the discussions are more just around the roster building. But as I've mentioned a few times, the least sexy moves are usually the good moves. And so far, again, early signs, no pads. They're spreading the ball around, and they're seemingly having their way with the Bills starting defense. They're having a lot of fun. They're celebrating. A lot of guys are scoring. A lot of guys are getting involved. It looks really, really good. Some teams, though, that are not having necessarily good vibes all around in camp. I mean, the Dolphins, Tua Tagovailoa, he barely practiced on day one. I think he had like two, he was on two plays in 11-on-11s. They were both handoffs. And then he sat out yesterday. They're going to have to pay him. I mean, we're at this point now, and I think he's playing it smartly where get to camp and show just how bad the offense is without you. And it was. They had Mike White playing, and it was not good by any stretch of the imagination. They were having a really, really tough time in those in yesterday's practice without him. Then you go over to Dallas, in which the Jones family continues to talk, and none of it sounds convincing or good. I mean, I saw a clip yesterday from Jerry Jones talking about being an option quarterback when he was younger and like waiting to the last second to get the ball out. And that's kind of what he's doing with these contract negotiations. And it's just like, what is happening? Like, what is going on here? You have that. CeeDee Lamb straight up isn't in Oxnard, California at all. That's a full holdout where he's getting fined and everything. I mean, at least Ja'Marr Chase, Tua Tagovailoa, Brandon Ayuk, they're at camp, but they're a holding. They're not getting fined. And then, man, it feels very, very weird with where Dallas is, especially because they were a team that, you know, going into this, they said they were kind of going all out in this offseason, and then they've done nothing. They didn't sign anyone, and then even their guys that are up for contracts, they're not re-signing them yet. They're waiting and waiting and waiting. And the more quarterback contracts that go out there, the higher Dak is going to go. And the more wide receiver contracts that get thrown out there, the higher CeeDee Lamb is going to go. And then you also have Micah Parsons. And it's just they are not doing a good job by any stretch of the imagination at actually securing all their really talented players. I don't find them to be a particularly deep team. I don't think they're a well-coached team. But they do have top-end talent that makes them dangerous. And then they just, I will never understand Dallas. They're going to get a lot of hype coming into the season. They're going to beat up on bad teams just like the Dolphins do. And then come the playoffs, or even just come against any team that's above 500, they are going to get cooked again, because that is what the Dallas Cowboys have been my entire life. Yeah, I had to think about that. It's my entire life. They've had a few fleeting years of being really darn good. But for the most part, this is what they are. You know, even look back at the Tony Romo teams. Romo took a lot of the heat, but those teams were poorly built. They were bad teams. And he was doing, for the most part, the best he could. Josh Reed continued to tweet about Josh Allen. Not on the injury front. Got his ankle taped up, but he's back out on the field. Apparently threw a dart to Kincaid along the sideline. And every report I'm seeing is saying that he is having a great practice. Josh Reed saying he's having his best practice at Bills camp so far. Again, only day three. No pads yet. We were talking with Sal a little bit earlier on in the show, too. Don't totally even know when the pads are going to come on. They could come on this weekend. But does an off day count for like the five report days or what have you? So it's kind of be a little weird. I imagine they're going to be on by Monday next week, though, and that's really for me where camp starts. But I do get very excited by this stuff, especially I've kind of, you know, stuck my neck out a little bit for this Bills team and how they're building this offense. I seem to be one of the few people here on the station that really does like what they've done, even if I don't love all the moves. I mean, Keon Coleman is not the rookie I would have drafted. But even then, he looks pretty darn good. And then you do have guys like Khalil Shakir and Curtis Samuel and Dalton Kincaid that are making this, for me, very exciting. And to see how this offense is working, that everyone is getting the ball. They're using their elite quarterback and some pretty darn good players to make this offense hum. And I think that's what's happening right now. On the Bills' defense, though, I have seen some people, you know, tweet at me and comment on other people's tweets for these offensive highlights. Like, is it time to be concerned about the Bills' defense? For me, no. And I mean this honestly. It's not that I'm a Bills homer or anything. It's just with McDermott especially, at least in the regular season, and I we'll get to the playoffs, but at least in the regular season, this has been one of the most consistent units in the NFL, bar none. They have been one of the top defenses every single year, even as a unit that doesn't particularly get sacks or big plays, which I think they're trying to lean into now. They have been one of the better units in football. But this year, there's a lot of turnover at key positions. Key leaders are off this roster. They're going through a full, it appears, roster battle at safety, where we've had DeMar Hamlin, Mike Edwards, and now Cole Bishop all with the ones to start a day of practice. But ultimately, I think this is a very good unit. I'm excited to see what Von Miller is a year post his full recovery from a torn ACL. This is usually when guys do come back, and he has kind of put his money where his mouth is by taking the pay cut. It's very incentive heavy, and incentive heavy being like 8+ sacks heavy kind of deal. And you do have talented young players. Terrell Bernard, Taron Johnson, you know, Ed Oliver is somebody that I just, every day at camp, there's offensive highlights, and then there's Ed Oliver doing insane stuff just all over. So I'm excited for this team. On the defense with the playoffs, look, I can very much at times understand the heat they get, especially when they play teams like Cincinnati and Kansas City, who seemingly just, they never punt against us, and it's insane. They have also dealt with massive injuries, especially to core pieces on the defense, whether it be the defensive tackle position being exhausted last year, the linebackers being exhausted. In years past, they've had their best edge rusher in Von Miller out for the season, their best cornerback in Trey White out for the season. They very much, a lot of these past few years, have gone into games very much with a hand behind their back on defense. And it's not a great excuse. I don't want to totally make one, because they do need to show up against the likes of Cincinnati and Kansas City, especially Kansas City last year. I the linebacker room, I also think they made poor roster decisions there. I would have much rather seen Dorian Williams get in there instead of let's go off the street and get A.J. Klein. Would have much rather seen Dorian Williams. But along with that, the wide receiver core was not good. And yet, against the Bills, they looked incredible, including a now Buffalo Bill, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who made an incredible catch to almost seal the game. I mean, it was one of the bigger plays of the game, down the sideline, but to the sideline. And they've got to perform better in the playoffs. But in terms of the regular season, in terms of seeing camp pictures and videos and tweets, I'm not going to get worried because the offense is carving them up. This is a lot of turnover. And I also think as well, you have an elite quarterback on the other side going up against this defense every day. Josh Allen is also himself very, very good. I would argue the second best quarterback in football. He is going to be very good. He is going to have his way with the defenses. And there's going to be days as well where the defense has their way with the Bills. I mean, yesterday was kind of up and down. It seemed early the offense was having their way, but it eventually kind of evened out, and the defense was making more plays, and the offense wasn't having as good of a day. I also would argue, and this has kind of been my stance, I think guys like Dalton Kincaid and Khalil Shakir might be special players for the Bills. And so if they are... Well, now all of a sudden we've got a different conversation about what this Bills offense is doing to this Bills defense. Instead of now it's this unknown element carving up the Bills defense, it could be a very, very good unit, a top 10 potential unit going up against another potential top 10 unit in the sport. And that's sort of my thing is now that we're in camp, we've done all the talking and kind of laid out all the scenarios. I look around the rest of the AFC East. I don't see how the Bills lose this division. I think the Jets, it's too fragile. It is far too fragile for the Jets to go through an entire season with no problems and to get through it. You saw last year, Miami had almost no problems, but they created them almost themselves and eventually fell apart. The Bills have had true, awful problems and have come away okay. The Jets feel like a team that a strong gust of wind will bring them down. Rodgers is 40, coming off an Achilles injury. He looked good in practice, I think, yesterday or the day prior. But if they start off rough or it's just not clicking, and their schedule will allow them to start off well. So if they don't, it also could be a sense of alarm anyways. But if they don't start off well, I mean, Bulldog says it a lot. Their coach is emasculated. It seems like Rodgers owns that team, and even then, we'll see where that even takes him. It's just them. A lot of it, don't get me wrong, is because they're the Jets. They've kind of earned this rep. The Lions had this up until, for me, last year, where it was like, the Lions. Like, you might be an exciting, fun team, but like you're still the Detroit Lions. Up until last year, that was my thought process. Now I'm like, ooh. Okay, the Lions are a template. They're a team I want to keep an eye on. I said it yesterday. I kind of hope the Bills are building an offense similar to what the Lions have because I think it's amazing. And I think they have a better quarterback than the Lions do. Then you look at the Dolphins. Defense is weak. They lost key members. The offensive line is still not good. That entire offense, namely Tua Tagovailoa, cannot play in the cold or really even arguably on the road. This is still a team searching for, I would even almost say, its identity. They have an identity. I don't really think it's a winning one. It's not going to get them to a Super Bowl. It hasn't even won them a playoff game yet. And so they're still searching for a winning identity. They're still searching for a winning culture. I mean, right now, they can't even get past the schoolyard bully in Buffalo. And last year, when they had their best chance to do so, they bungled it. That is going to stick with some of these guys, I would imagine, especially when you had a chance to do it again to win the division, and instead at home against Buffalo, they beat you again. And they didn't even play particularly well. And then you have all of this Tua drama. And I don't want to say drama like it's a bad thing. Tua deserves to want to get his contract, and I understand him holding out. It's not on that, but it's more just it does seem like the Dolphins are noncommittal on Tua, which some will argue is probably the correct decision. But ultimately, when your next option is Skylar Thompson or Mike White, that's not great. Especially with the last few years of Tyreek Hill. You've now paid Jaylen Waddle. Your defense is gotten carved up pretty aggressively. They're in a weird situation. In a situation that until they beat the Bills convincingly, until I do see them as a threat, I never will see them as a threat. It's one of those. Until I see it, I won't see it. I can't picture the Dolphins beating the Bills for the division. I can't. Because last year, even in their best opportunity, they failed. And it didn't even take the Bills doing anything particularly amazing either, even against them. But even coming off their 70-point performance, the Bills then ran them over at home. Ran them over. And then you look at the Patriots. They're the team I actually might be most worried about long-term. Drake May, I think everyone kind of knows here. I'm a big fan of his. I was a big fan of his coming out of North Carolina. You then add two rookie wide receivers to him. You add a new head coach who seems to really be bringing in a different vibe for the Patriots, one that I think is more modern and fresh. And while they're probably not an issue this year, year two, three, they could be. But for right now, I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about this year and maybe going the furthest I could go next year. The team I look to is the Chiefs, is the Bengals, is the Ravens. I'm not looking that much at the AFC East. And a lot of it, too, is just a lot of these teams have just not earned me to care that much. The Dolphins make a big move every offseason. It ultimately leads to almost nothing. The Jets do relatively the same thing. Sometimes it works, sometimes it blows up in their face. I think the Rodgers thing is 50-50. Year one is a wash, towards Achilles. After four plays, that is a complete wash. But at his age, with that injury and his style of play, that is concerning. I'm not able to take them all that seriously yet. I'm just not. Even with the Bills seemingly going through a big transition in the middle of their run with Allen, which is not too surprising. Teams will do that. Quarterbacks are here much longer than many other players. Even with the transition, even the fact that they've moved out Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis, I trust them more. And then these early reports that they are getting the ball out quick. They're spreading it out. They're going to cause more problems for defenses, or at least hoping to cause more problems for defenses. I mean, that was the Jets' one big calling card when they came to playing the Bills. I mean, they can actually beat them. The Dolphins can't. Is that it felt like more than any other game, those Jets games specifically, Allen just zeroed in on specific targets, and they took advantage of it. If all of a sudden he is spreading the ball out, and they're going to be a very good defense, don't get me wrong. That Jets team is talented. I just worry at how fragile it is. But if he is able to, in a way, carve up that defense or have a good day against that defense, the Jets aren't touching them. They're just not. I think the Bills are far better coached. I like Saleh. Do we know, though? I think going to the Jets is just, it's one of the worst jobs in professional sports. It has to be. Because just nothing goes well there. It does feel like you are constantly emasculated by something. You're never really the main guy. I'd say the last time that was true was Rex Ryan. And I think Rex specifically took that nature on because of who his quarterback was in Mark Sanchez to try to get some of the heat off of him in the offense by just putting it all on Rex. And then they were winning, so it worked. But the moment they were losing, it became a real problem really fast. I think both New York football teams are not run particularly well. I caught up with Hard Knocks, the pre-draft episode. I feel for Joe Shane because and a lot of this is editing as well, so I get it. But I feel for Joe Shane in the sense that it feels like he doesn't want to keep either Daniel Jones or Saquon Barkley, but was forced to keep Jones and essentially got his way on Barkley, but was very much made to feel bad and uncomfortable the whole way through. And then this year, they just didn't have a high enough draft pick to go get Drake May, who I think that they were drooling over to try to go get. I don't think they want to have Daniel Jones. I don't think they want to do any of that, but they're sort of forced to. And that's the Hard Knocks I love. I also imagine a lot of teams are never going to want to do this version of them. Like the camp Hard Knocks, they can kind of play around with. They can very much police it, I think, better. This off-season one is hard to do because you are really trying to do your job, and it feels nearly impossible to do your job when this is what's going on and that the cameras are everywhere. And so I feel bad because there are points in here with Shane that just, I feel for him. It feels like he just wants to scream that people are bringing up their identity and their most popular player. And he's like, that's not how I build a football team. I am not paying $40 million to a quarterback to hand off to a $20 million running back. Like, what is happening here? And I feel for him. And then I look at the Bills, and it does feel like the football guys are able to make the football decisions, even if they're not always immediately loved by fans. They have built a very successful team. Their biggest problem is they're running into a Chiefs team that is the dynasty of the 2020s and also has a division that is not even trying anymore, it feels like. And they haven't for a number of years, but they have had a cakewalk, even losing a few games to the Chargers or the Raiders. But ultimately, it's a cakewalk. The Raiders are not a serious organization. I like their tight end room. I'm interested in what that offense could be, but they're not serious. The Broncos, we'll see. But are we serious? Bo Nix versus Patrick Mahomes? That on paper, even 2-3 years from now, is not good. And then the Chargers, who got Herbert, did the hardest thing right first, and everything else they've done completely wrong. You know, I just went through the AFC East, and I don't trust two of the teams, and one is rebuilding. But I trust the Jets and the Dolphins far more than I trust any of the other three teams in the AFC West. And then along with that, I think we've also gotten to a point, too. The Chiefs have gotten very lucky, which is the nature of the game, in how certain teams play them. 13 seconds with the Bills. Last AFC Championship game with the Ravens. I mean, just boneheaded coaching decisions that gave the Chiefs a much easier path to victories. If not, secured them victories. And then the two Super Bowls, or two of the three Super Bowls they've won, they've played Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback, who missed a wide-open deep throw to essentially close out that game, and then last year, Brock Purdy. We all know how I feel about Brock Purdy. I'm not taking anything away from the Chiefs, but it is one of those to look at. You know, this is the nature of the NFL. This is the nature of pro sports. It does take a semblance of luck to get there, but I do think the Bills continue to put themselves in a really, really good position to try to win the Super Bowl, to try to get there. My biggest issue is that they have gotten locked up in the second round for too many years now going forward through bad coaching decisions, I think through bad personnel decisions last year. Dorian Williams not starting at linebacker, I think, was very frustrating for me, and I know for a lot of people here as well. And then coaching decisions, 13 seconds. But they've also had years where they ran out of gas. The Cincinnati playoff game, DeMar Hamlin and all that, and all the weather events and the changing of the schedule. That team was out of gas. They weren't going on a run. But it was still at home, and it's still in the second round. And then last year, it was the same thing in the second round to a Chiefs team that was not good. And yet for most of that game, it felt like the Chiefs were getting ready to run you over. And it took stunning plays to keep you in that. And I refuse to forget the DeMar Hamlin fake punt. I refuse to forget it, because that was alarming, to say the least. But I think they are continuing to put themselves in really, really good positions to try to win the Super Bowl, to try to get there. And ultimately, the Chiefs dynasty will not last forever. The Patriots did go 10 years without winning a Super Bowl. The Chiefs could be incredibly good for a long time, but they're not going to be in and win the Super Bowl every year. It's just not going to happen. We'll see if the Chiefs are even better this year than they have been in years past. I'd argue they are, which is a worry. It is a worry. I think their offense is better and their defense is very, very good. And you look at the AFC West, as I mentioned, it's a bad division. It's going to take a lot for this Bills team to win a Super Bowl this year, to even make a Super Bowl this year. I think they have the ability to do so, but man, it is going to take a lot. We're going to take a quick time out here, though. When we come back, Bills head coach Sean McDermott joined Jeremy and Joe before practice. We'll hear back his comments after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show right here on WGR.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm going to say, I want to be here, but you know, when you look up, all the great quarterbacks I watched played for other teams. So my point in saying that is that that's not something to fear. That may be a reality for me one day, may not be my decision. So that's the freedom that I have is be where your feet are, make the most of it, be confident in yourself, make your team better. I love my teammates. I love that locker room. I love everything about being out here in Oxnard and being a Dallas Cowboy. So that's what allows me to be free and focused and understand that in time comes, who knows what comes. As I said, I've been through a lot of adversity personally, that it's about being thankful for where you are, hugging and loving on your loved ones, and taking it one day at a time and handling the rest when it approaches.
Oh, my goodness. Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott there with the media at Cowboys training camp. The vibes with the Cowboys are atrocious. They're not good. Steven and Jerry Jones, every time they talk, it's not ominous like Mike Brown of the Bengals was, but it kind of gives this feeling of, we're also upset we haven't done anything, but we're mad that you're pointing it out. And just, again, like Jerry Jones went on waxing poetically about him being an option quarterback when he was in high school and waiting to the last second to get out the ball. And he's like, I'm downfield before I even pitched it back. And then you have there, Dak Prescott. Every great quarterback I knew growing up played for different teams. It's like, what? Not many of them actually did. There were a few, sure, but I mean, like, Favre was more forced into retirement. That wasn't really anything. And
well,
not Favre forced.
Ended up playing because he wanted to play for Minnesota. I think that's why.
Well, to get back to the Packers. Yeah. Because he retired and then decided not to. And they're like, dude, no. Like, we've already moved on. Montana, kind of the same thing, only because they had Steve Young. But, like, Kelly played in the USFL, but then the Bills his whole career. Elway played with the Denver Broncos his whole career. Peyton Manning, due to an injury that maybe could have ended his career before he goes to Denver. I mean, ultimately, by the end of his career, he doesn't even feel his fingertips. Brady, he played till he was 45. I mean, to a certain extent, yeah, teams got to start moving on from you. It wasn't due, a lot of the times, due to contract issues. Contract issues, you usually stay there. It's more along the lines of age, you know, lingering thoughts of retirement, what have you. And they have like a young guy in the wings.
I think Drew Brees is the first one I think of.
Brees, but he wasn't great. And that's he was a good quarterback. He was fine. He became great in New Orleans. He was fine in San Diego. But even then, they had a young guy. It was injuries for him, and they had a young guy in Phillip Rivers ready to go. The vibes in Dallas are atrocious. They are the exact opposite of the Bills. We are going to hear we're going to listen back to Bills head coach Sean McDermott earlier today with Jeremy and Joe. Do real quick want to mention though, as good as the offense was to begin practice, the defense has now taken over. Three straight passes, three straight interceptions coming on this team portion of practice as well. And Sal has a perfect summary here, just his tweet right here. In summary, Josh Allen was absolutely awesome during 7-on-7s and most of practice, including 11-on-11s. Then three straight interceptions, one a clear overthrow, next going deep and covered well, then a miscommunication with wideout. So the defense has also started making plays, and that's sprinkled in with Ed Oliver it's seemingly exploding all 3 days here at camp. All right. Without further ado, let's go back to our morning show with Jeremy and Joe as Bills head coach Sean McDermott joined them before practice.
Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott joining us here at St. John Fisher. Another beautiful morning. You guys are like, the weather's perfect so far.
The weather is perfect, which it normally is in Western New York.
Yeah.
This time of year in particular. So we are fired up to have another day in front of us and get going here.
Yeah. This camp for you, I mean, is it any... You've been through a lot of these. Do they change year to year? Is it the same routine? Does it feel different each year?
It's a lot the same. The approach is very similar year to year. I think if you were to go camp to camp, you'd see a similar approach, quite honestly. But it does change year to year because the team changes, the faces change a little bit or a lot this year. And so we're excited about the opportunity in front of us, excited to be here in Rochester, in particular in Pittsburgh, and get a chance to connect and engage with our fans on almost a daily basis here.
Going away to St. John Fisher, you've been doing it for many years now. Has your opinion changed about going away to camp since you started as coach? Because now it just feels like you guys are, loving it, or like the value of it. You feel like you talk about it every year, how valuable it is to get away.
Yeah, well, that narrative that got put out there by, I don't know how it got out there when I first got here, about Sean McDermott not wanting to come to camp is absolutely 100% false. If anybody was driving this, it was me, and I hate even using that type of phrase, but damn it, I mean, that's the way it's been since day one of me wanting to come to camp and get away. I still believe in it like I did in 2017, and that's the facts.
You've got a new team, a lot of new changes this year, a lot of new leaders in this group. Wanted to ask you about, there was a report today about Josh Allen's leadership style, and there's a lot of different tentacles to this conversation. The idea that maybe he needs a different style of leadership, that the organization might want more from him, or a different way to be a franchise quarterback. That was in there, Tim Graham from The Athletic reporting that, that there's a maybe a directive to get him to be less of one of the guys and more of a executive. Any thoughts, anything to share on Allen's style to this point, the maturation, the natural progression of a franchise quarterback, or anything related to that?
Yeah, I'll start with Terry's piece of that. That has never been a mandate from Terry, number one, and secondly, that's not his management style to begin with anyway. As it relates to Josh, Josh has been extraordinary in a lot of areas for this football team. Leadership, when you're young and you're learning how to lead, it continues to grow along the way. And look, we all have things we can improve on overall as a team, and that's where you really start, right? And so, and when you study leadership, that's an ongoing deal. And that's, I've been very impressed with how Josh has developed and continues to develop and be curious about leadership. And but no, his leadership has been extraordinary on and off the field, and it will continue to grow as we move forward here.
Is it more critical for him on that front this year because you had so many captains that from last year that are out the door?
Yes, I would agree. I would 100% agree, and Josh knows that. And he really, to me, and this is what a leader does, he takes that responsibility head on, and I've seen that since the spring, the start of the spring, and then into the break, and now in the first just couple of days of training camp, the practices here that we've had, he's been phenomenal on the field, phenomenal with his intent to get on the same page with the offensive players.
When it comes to all the changes, you know, we mentioned this a lot. It's training camp. There's a lot of new faces. You guys have been together, of course, OTAs, mini camps, all that. So by now, is it not necessarily feeling like everybody's new? It's the new group is together and hit the ground running full speed once training camp begins?
Yeah, I would say yes, Jeremy, with the fact in the way of we're here. It's kind of like the doors are locked, and this is who we have, and this is what we have to do to build this football team and get it to where it needs to be. There's a lot of work that needs to get done here, and then when we get back to Orchard Park, and you know, all the way through the preseason of bringing this team together, onboarding these new players, young and some of the veterans that have joined us, to get used to how we do things, our systems, our schemes, and how we play specific to the Buffalo Bills.
New coordinators, I mean, Joe taking over first year full-time, Bobby Babich, you've talked about how you two will work the defense together. I wanted to ask you about the idea of bringing coaches along. Like, I think a lot of times people think about coaches bringing players along and that development process, but as a coach that's been a veteran for so long, you've got assistants rolling through and guys coming up. And what kind of process is that for you? How is it different from players to bring coaches up as they – you know, go from quarterback coach to coordinator to then they're getting interviews and they're out the door. It's not quite the same as a player, but I imagine there are parallels.
Well, and when you have success like we've had and been consistent with it, you lose staff members, and that's hard because you have to have someone in the pipeline, so to speak. And so that development, to your point, Jeremy, of developing our staff, coaching in the coaching business, it's called who's willing to coach their coaches, basically, right? So I fully believe in that. And in particular for the betterment of them and their careers, but also for the betterment of our team and building that alignment or being on the same page with Joe and Bobby and Matt Smiley, my main leadership group there with the coordinator group is highly important to our success. If they're coaching it one way and it's not how I see it, we have those conversations or vice versa. So it's important.
Quickly on Matt Smiley, the new kickoff rule, is that exciting, stressful? I mean, it's
all of the above.
No one knows what to expect, right? Yeah. Like, it's a totally new thing.
Yeah, no, it's all of the above. There's so much unknown, which I think leads to, you know, a little bit of angst on the coach's end and maybe a little bit of the player's end, but also maybe some excitement for the fan base. I think, you know, if the rule stays like it is currently written, there's going to be some teams that jump on this early and handle it the right way. And so for us, we have to do a little bit more or a lot more so that we're one of the teams that gets off to a good start with it, and we don't underestimate the impact that's going to have.
Yeah, I've wondered about the stress on even the players learning it because, you know, there are different formations and schemes and whatnot, but these guys have been playing football their whole lives, but none of them, I would imagine, I don't, off the top of my head, I don't think any of your players were in the XFL. I don't, these guys haven't practiced this even, let alone played it in a game.
That's right. So we'll throw more at them in practice. We may even go live a little bit. I think I was asked a question a couple days ago, and you don't love doing that necessarily, but it may be necessary in this case to get a full good look at it, because preseason may not be that type of canvas when people are holding back what they're really planning to do.
A lot of talk about changes. Your secondary, I mean, big changes. Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, Trey White, three guys that were here for the longest time, worked so well together. A new group back there. Was it about trying to put something together with the same traits you saw in them way back when, or an evolving game, an evolving way to call defense? How did you start to build the secondary out in the post-Poyer-Hyde era?
You know, I believe I learned long ago coaching Brian Dawkins in Philadelphia that safeties are interchangeable, and that has stuck with me since those days. And so when we came here and brought in Jordan and Micah, that's some of what you saw, interchangeable, as opposed to a strong, true strong safety in the box and a true post safety, free safety in this case. And so, yeah, the traits are, they don't change in terms of what we look for. The game has evolved, but I think we've been a little bit ahead of it, to be quite honest, in that regard with this position in particular. So, you know, we're happy with what we have. Certainly never easy to move on or lose those players, but super proud of them and the opportunities that some of them have gotten to this point, and always be keeping an eye on them. As it goes for us, you know, we have the challenge of bringing some new players, again, a veteran in Mike Edwards, some youth in Cole, and getting them up to speed as quickly as possible. Mike missed most of the spring, so those are critical reps that he missed. But you know, this is a critical time for Mike and all of our players.
Well, while we're on safety, we saw Damar Hamlin getting the opportunity on Wednesday. I wonder if you see a difference in him this year, maybe just because he had a more, I'd have to imagine, he had a more normal offseason than he would have had a year ago.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, that first year, unique in a lot of ways. I mean, you go for, it's unique for an ACL, like when you come off that first year of coming off an ACL, let alone what Damar went through. And so now he's I think getting back to being able to kind of just get back to himself, if that's even the right way to say it. So super proud of him, grateful that he's okay, and I think his best football's ahead of him.
Linebacker Terrell Bernard had a great year last year, really kind of burst onto the scene, and did it with Matt Milano missing most of the year. The idea of the two of them together on the field?
Excited. Yeah, excited. Matt's got a long way to go, you know, coming back from that. That was a significant injury. Nobody works harder than Matt Milano, and he spent really the entire offseason in Buffalo, including the break over the summer, and he's committed. I mean, his mindset is elite, and that's part of the challenge, right, coming off an injury like that.
You say he's got a long way to go. You've got, you know, we've got Twitter doctors in the stands. Is it about managing? You guys are talking about managing him. They're watching every step, and you know I'm watching it too. Like, how's he look? Is it about getting him back to where he was? When you say he's got a long way to go to being that level of player, it's going to take a little time.
It is, and that's just natural. Listen, I know he wants to be back to square one again, and I want him back to square one. I've been assured by our training staff, Nate Bresky, that he'll get back there. It's just going to take some time. And patience and Sean McDermott don't really go in the same sentence. But in this case, I have just ultimate trust in our training staff and ultimate trust in Matt Milano.
How about Vaughn for this? Last year, you know, he's been talking about how he knew he wasn't right where he should be. And how about where he is now?
Yeah, similar situation, right? Now getting a year away from that first year off the injury, and I'm super excited for Vaughn because that opportunity that's in front of him to impact our defense, like maybe he wasn't able to physically last year. The thing I loved about last year was his mindset. He never really let himself maybe acknowledge that, how he was limited physically, and that to me just speaks to how elite he's been in his career and why he's been elite, because of his his mindset has been so strong.
On the offensive side of the ball, obviously the receiver room with both Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs no longer being here. Does it feel like there's more competition in the receiver room than ever? Because in the past, you've had, and this goes back to Beasley, Brown, et cetera, that you've had solidified veterans. And not that you don't have any veterans, but I don't know. Does it feel like with some youth and players that are new to the scene that there's more competition in that room?
I wouldn't say more competition. I would say maybe a little bit more unknown, because when you lose a Gabe or a Steph, two great players, two great teammates that have been here and made a huge impact on this team, there's some newness, and so we have to figure out a lot more of what we have, and that'll continue through these practices. When we get into the preseason, those players are all going to play valuable snaps so that we can truly understand what we have. The worst thing we could do is get out of training camp and not truly understand what we have and then put them in the wrong positions as opposed to the right positions in game one.
Impressions of Curtis Samuel early on?
Yeah, utility type of player. Going against him, he's a little bit of a headache because you're not really sure what he's going to do, where he's going to line up. Just overall, Curtis getting on the same page with Josh and building that chemistry in the way we're going to use him will be critical for us.
Keon Coleman? I mean,
did you see the first day?
Yeah. Yeah, like foot control, body control.
Yeah.
I mean, highlight reel catches. That was him in college, right? And listening to Brandon talk about him back at minicamp about learning more, maybe more diverse playbook or more. There's the process of becoming a pro. Is that really what Keon's looking at right now?
That's it. And they all do, just some more than others. And Keon's off to a really good start. I thought he had a solid spring. And like I mentioned, the first day in that red zone period was pretty impressive for a new player, a young player like that, like Keon. And now we start to open it up in some of the open field, midfield situations, you'll see how we see him fitting into our offense, and he's going to go through normal rookie challenges. They all do, and so there'll be some highs, there'll be some lows. Us continuing to grow him professionally will be important.
I feel like every year when we arrive to the season or arrive to camp, you'll get questions about Josh Allen running the football. Is there any difference at all from past seasons with the attitude for the team overall with his ability to run and how much you want him running?
Yeah, I mean, it's a managed deal. Josh has grown over the years with his maturity and understanding what can happen if you're not responsible with it. And so what we try and be responsible and manage it during the year, and then knowing that he's going to do some of that on his own, some of those quote-unquote loose plays and scramble plays and extending and whatnot. So, listen, the scramble rate in the NFL has grown every year the last few years, and we talk about that. It's a part of our game now. So it is what it is, and Josh is a big-time weapon when he does that. And I can tell you from a defensive standpoint that those coordinators that are going against him, they've got their work cut out having to deal with that.
Last thing for me, you guys are here for a couple of weeks. We're back at the Blue and Red a week from tonight, so
yep.
We're back at the stadium. Yeah. You're following across the street closely? I mean, keeping an eye on the new big one going up? I mean, the new stadium is
it's getting taller by the day.
It's pretty tall. Yeah. What an undertaking,
yeah.
You know, the whole thing.
It's impressive. I mean, the work that gets done over there and how efficient they are. I had a chance in the spring to stop over there and share some lunch with some of the workers over there. I thought that was a great experience. And then I'm excited for Terry and Kim and then the same for our fan base. I mean, this is the excitement around that new stadium and the excitement around our football team is at an all-time high, and I'm especially excited for the future of the Buffalo Bills and the fan base and what they're going to be able to experience.
Sean McDermott, Bills head coach. We'll let you go to practice.
Thanks, guys.
That was Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott earlier today with Jeremy and Joe. Got to take a quick time out here as we get you ready for Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. You're listening to Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show right here on WGR. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Very quick segment here as we get you ready for Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. We've been covering a lot of training camp this week, and our coverage of Bills training camp from St. John Fisher University is presented by Admar Construction, the equipment you need when you need it, and brought to you in part by Figo Car and Joy Shore Border Attorneys, by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And by your Western New York Ford dealers and the all-purpose affordable Ford Bronco Sport. I did see a few tweets. Wonderful to see Kim Pegula along with Terry Pegula did help break down the Bills following practice today. Wonderful to hear a good update on Kim and her health. Hope that continues to go forward. I know she's been at camp all week. And I do also want to remind you, we met with Sal earlier on in the show. We've been doing so all week as he's been out at training camp. But he takes you behind the scenes during Bills training camp with Sal's All Access Facebook Live on WGR's Facebook page. It's driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. Not sure if there's going to be practice tomorrow for the Bills. We'll get that for sure once Sal gives up. No practice. It's officially no practice tomorrow for the Bills. Sunday they'll be back. Potentially pads. May not be able to, though. It's not three practices. It's like five report days. Unsure, though, if the actual report day counts as one of those days. So we'll see if they get in pads on Sunday, but almost for sure on Monday. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. Coming up after a quick timeout, Sabres Live. You're listening to WGR.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead. Be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.